You were created for eternal purposes. You were saved for eternal purposes. And what death does is it ushers you into the fulfillment of those and ushers you into the presence of the one who loved your soul and gave himself up for it.
Well, they say the odds of death are very good. One out of every one person will die one day. It could be tomorrow, or it could be years from now. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have hope for today and for eternity. In other words, we don't have to fear death. Hi, I'm Bill Wright, and today on the Truth Pulpit, Pastor Don Green continues the series titled A Matter of Life and Death. And Don, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, the Apostle Paul was facing possible execution, but he said, "To die is gain." Now, some of us, maybe, still fear the unknown of death.
Well, Bill, my heart would be filled with compassion for anyone that's in that condition. If you're not a Christian, please know that Christ invites you to come to Him and promises you rest if you do. If you're a Christian, you can rest in the assurance that to die is to enter immediately into the presence of Christ. There's hope for both in what lies ahead in our study of God's Word today.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we look forward to hearing more about this truth in Scripture today. So here is our teacher from the Truth Pulpit.
We come to a wonderful text and to a topic upon which I love to preach. I feel very at home in this realm of thought that we are approaching this morning from the book of Philippians, chapter 1, verse 21. I invite you to turn there as we have returned to our verse-by-verse exposition. Our main text for today says this, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." One of the things that I think about often is the inability or the refusal or the reluctance of people to consider the topic of death. People occasionally get uncomfortable when I talk about the way that I visit cemeteries and things like that, and people wonder why you would be preoccupied with those kinds of things. I look at it this way. Death is inevitable. Death is the one thing that we will share in common, I guess, in addition to paying taxes, as the phrase goes. We are all destined for the grave if our Lord tarries. And to me, it only makes sense, especially as Christian people, to contemplate that and to work our way through that so that it no longer holds any fear for us. But when Paul wrote this letter to the Philippians, he was facing possible execution. For all he knew, he had a terminal disease called Roman punishment, you might say. Life was on the edge, and his next day was not certain for him. And yet, what you find is, and this is where the challenge comes for us today, is as you read through this epistle, what you find is that even the prospect of death did not shake his joy. Paul was not dissuaded from his joyful attitude toward life by the fact that he might die soon. What that should say to you is that joy in the Christian life is not found by avoiding the topic of death or denying its existence or sticking your fingers in the ear when somebody starts to talk about it or just uncomfortably shuffling through a memorial or a funeral service just as quickly as you can so that you can get out and not have to contemplate it. That's not the way that we are to think, beloved, at all. In Ecclesiastes, it says, "It's better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting, because the living take it to heart." You're supposed to contemplate this and understand it in a biblical way. And when you do, suddenly you're living in a more fearless way. There's not the threat of death does not hold the same kind of fear for you that it once did. And here's the question that I want answered when this is introduced then. Is how can we make that true for ourselves? Paul said, look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Look at it there again with me. Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "To die is gain." To die is gain. Now look, we are used to thinking about death from the completely opposite perspective. Somebody's fought cancer for a long period of time and their life comes to an end. What's so often said is that they lost the battle with cancer, right? They lost. Cancer won, they lost. And that's perspective is the fact that I lost what I had. Or perhaps more closer to home for some of you, as you think about the prospect of death, whether you're in your 70s and 80s and it's a little closer, or your 20s, 30s, or 40s and it seems further away. We all think about death, and we tend to think about it from the prospect of what we're going to leave behind. I'm going to leave a beloved spouse behind. I'm going to leave my children behind, my loved ones behind. And we don't like that prospect of separation, and it concerns us, and what's going to happen to them when I'm gone, and just that prospect, and it's all earthly focused. And there's a certain understandable reality to that, but I want to help you think through it today in a way that can take you beyond that as you absorb these things in your mind and reflect on them over time. And so how can we make this true for ourselves, that you and I could say, to die is gain? I am not afraid of the grave. I am not afraid of the flapping wings of the angel of death. How can that be true for us when the reality of death is one that we cannot avoid? Two things for you here this morning that I want to share with you from Scripture and that are suggested by this passage. First of all is this. Is that as a Christian, you must remember the passing nature of this life. Remember the passing nature of this life. You have to start with what reality is. What is reality? The reality is that the present life and present relationships that you enjoy are not permanent, and they are not going to go on forever. That's so hard to hear, isn't it? We don't like to have our bubble of security shattered like that, but it's true. And Scripture tells us to contemplate that in many places. Now, I'm not arguing that we shouldn't enjoy life. Most of us do enjoy life, and you should. God has blessed us in so many different ways. Most of us enjoy a measure of material prosperity that we're able to enjoy to one degree or another, certainly compared to other parts of the world. Many of us have families that we enjoy and love and share in things together, or we have friends, or we have a church body that we find particular joy in. There's just so many blessings like that, and 10,000 beside, as the hymn writer said. So God has blessed us, and it is good, and it is right, and it is proper for us to give thanks to Him for what He has given, and to enjoy these things as good gifts that have come down from a good Heavenly Father to us. Amen. Praise the Lord. That is just the reality of it. But even as we are giving thanks in that way, my friends, you have to remember this, is that this world is not our home. This world is not our final destination. Paul said as much. Turn over to chapter 3 with me in Philippians, chapter 3, verse 20, just for a moment here. There is this element of looking forward, looking to the future, looking beyond this life that is intrinsic to being a Christian. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 20, he said, "Our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of His glory, by the exertion of the power that He has even to subject all things to Himself." You see, beloved, fundamental to Christian thinking, fundamental to a Christian philosophy of life is this, is that God saved you for an eternal destination. God had eternal purposes for which He saved you. He did not save you simply to bless you and make you comfortable in this life. That's not always the case. And in any rate, this life is temporary. And so understand, make it fundamental to your perspective on being a Christian, that God saved you for eternal purposes, to bring you to an eternal home. As Jesus said in John chapter 14, "I go away to prepare a place for you." And if I go away, I will come again so that where I am, you may be there also. Fundamental in the reality of being a Christian is that this world is not our home. That's why, beloved, that's why, my friends, that Scripture says things like this, Matthew 6:19, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. 1 John 2:17, this world is passing away. In James chapter 4, verse 14, it says, you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. And so what we find as we look at those Scriptures and contemplate the eternal destination of our lives with what Scripture says about the undeniable reality of living in this world is passing. Your life has a passing nature, a transient nature to it, so much so that David in the Psalms prays to God, I believe it's in Psalm 39, he says, Lord, help me to know how transient I am, that my life is but a vapor here. And part of the reason that we need the Lord to give us that illumination in our minds and our hearts is so that we would have a proper perspective on the life that we're living now. Because, beloved, what that means is that if the Lord tarries, if the Lord doesn't come back soon, you and I are going to depart this life through the one exit door of death. That's the reality of it. Now, just to repeat myself and to sympathize with you as you hear what I am saying here today, I understand that there is a natural initial reaction against that. To some degree, we like life. We love those who are close to us. And as a result, for some of you, maybe many of you, death creates an uncomfortable fear in you. You want the topic to go away. You want this message to be over. And, you know, the fear of the unknown, what's that going to be like? Perhaps a lingering sense of guilt that you have before God that gives you a sense of shrinking back from passing into this life and entering into His presence. It creates a lot of discomfort that makes many people simply want to avoid the subject. Now, and you may be more sympathetic with that than with what I'm about to say. But beloved, I just want to tell you that, and I say this sympathetically, I say it pastorally, I say it with a great concern for your soul and your well-being, your spiritual well-being. I want to tell you that that mindset is utterly foolish. It's foolish to live life that way. It's foolish to think that way. How foolish is it to avoid the ultimate destination of what life will be? Hebrews 9:27 says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after this comes judgment. And so I look at that, I look at this reality that we're talking about here, and I look at it this way. People are refusing to consider that which is absolutely sure to occur. Why would you do that? Why would you live life that way? Why not instead face the fear, see what Scripture has to say about it, and come to a place where you say, I understand the reality of death. I understand how to triumph over death. And now that fear has been taken away from me. I may come back to this passage, but turn over to Hebrews chapter 2. Part of the purpose of Christ in coming, and part of the purpose in Christ in saving you is to deliver you from that slavish fear of death. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14, it says, therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and look at it here in verse 15, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. Christ saved us in part to deliver us from that fear of death. This is an important part of spiritual maturity, of spiritual growth, that to the extent that you are afraid of dying, that you would contemplate Scripture and overcome that fear. What we find as we read the book of Philippians then, and in that context, go back to Philippians chapter 1 to our text. In Philippians chapter 1, Paul says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." There's a sense in which, I mean this in a positive way, it may not come out quite that way because of the way that I'm going to say it, but there is a sense in which that text is a taunt against the fears of the ungodly and their rejection of Christ. They live life, they think they have freedom in the bondage of their sin, but in the reality of it is they cannot face death. They're afraid of death. They redefine it. They make up their own ideas about it. At the core of their heart, there is this fear and uncertainty about what's going to happen to them when they die. Maybe some of you have that same fear in you. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I die. And to the extent that that's the predominant thought in your mind, that's an indication that you may not truly be born again, that you may not fully understand the work of Christ or have received Him personally, and that He might deliver you from all of those things. Paul's words, "to die is gain," says to the world, "I have something that you don't have." Christians have a confidence in facing the ultimate reality that is a stranger to the world. And so here in Philippians, you find the Apostle Paul soaring above all of life, all of death. And what Paul's example and what Paul's teaching does is helps you move beyond the fear of death in your own life, because the Bible says to die is gain. And if it's a gain, then it's something that does not need to be feared. And so how do you overcome the fear of death as a Christian? Well, first of all, you remember the passing nature of this life, and that teaches you, that reminds you, you come back again and again to the fact that you are not supposed to set your hope in anything that might come to you in this life, because it can be gone in a moment. It's passing, it's fleeting, it's uncertain. And so your ultimate hope is not in this, your treasure is not here on earth, and you remember that. And you've seen through life, as it were, through the testimony of Scripture in a way that lets you see this life is passing, and however good I have it during this life, however long I have it, it's still passing. It's still transient. It is still temporary. And we come to grips with that. And that, you might say, is the negative side of understanding how to die is gain. Let me give you point number two, that which is the positive side of it, which is the glorious side of it, the joyful side of it, is to remember the outcome of salvation. Remember the outcome of salvation. And what we're talking about here, beloved, my friends in Christ, I'm doing more than imparting information here this morning, aren't I? This is not simply an impartation of information so that you can have more facts in your head about different things. Oh, what we're saying is based on truth, and you need to know the truths of what we're saying. But what we're talking about here is that upon which you meditate. You think this over. You consider life in light of these things, and you meditate on them over time, and so that they become settled convictions in your heart. And so this is not simply giving you facts, but giving you that for your mind to meditate on, to find the settled peace that would give you the same confidence that the Apostle Paul had. Look, the Apostle Paul's confidence to live as Christ and to die as gain, his confidence was not unique to him. This was not the exclusive prerogative because he was an apostle or a so-called super saint. This is the reality for every true Christian. It is the nature of Christianity itself. To live is Christ, that's true, and to die is gain. For the Christian, that is true for every one of us. And therefore, the joyful confidence, the lack of fear in the contemplation of death is meant to be the reality which governs our mind and outlook on life as well. So you have to remember the outcome of salvation. And oh, is this sweet in my opinion anyway. You read what Paul says here, to live as Christ and to die as gain, and you remember the circumstances under which he's living at the time. Caesar's sword is hanging just above his neck, so to speak. And you find that Paul's not afraid. He's not afraid of death. This letter to the Philippians is saturated with joy. And he goes back to the theme of joy again and again and again. So much so that he says death will be gain to him. The word gain, it's something that's advantageous. It's going to be, Paul says, it's going to be to my personal advantage when I die. Wow. Wow. Is that ever an otherworldly perspective on this life and the next? Death holds no fear for Paul. He says, actually, death is going to turn out so that it's something better for me than what I have right now. And beloved, let me just stop here and make a little bit of a distinction of nuance here. Some people do look forward to death, but it's simply because they're tired of the pain of this life, and death they view as an escape from the pain of the present life. They get out of bad circumstances, they get out of bad health or whatever. They embrace the idea of death because it's an escape from their present troubles to them. And supposedly, I guess that's what people who are moved to suicide think, that death is their way out of their problems. That's a whole nother issue that I'm not going to go on to that tangent for now. But that is not Paul's perspective here. Paul is not talking about this in simply a negative sense, that I can't wait to die because I'll be out of this prison, I'll be free from these chains, I'll be free from my ministerial obligations. No, he's got a positive view of it. It's actually going to be better. And how is it going to be better for him? Look at verse 23. He makes it very plain. He says, but I have, look at this, I have the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. He says, for me to die is gain. Why is it gain, Paul? Why is it to your advantage? Why will it be better for you? He says, because when I die, I am going to be in the presence of Christ. I am going to be in the conscious, immediate presence of the one who loved my soul and gave his life for me. I am going to be in the conscious, immediate presence of the one for whom I've lived. Now I will die for him, and then I'll live forevermore with him, and I'll be with him. I will be with the one who loved me and gave himself for me. And beloved, that is the perspective that you need to understand as a Christian. This is what you need to grasp and to make the immediate association of death with. To stop thinking about death so much as a departure from this life, although it is that, a departure from what you've known, and a departure from your loved ones. It is all of that, and that's why we shrink back from the thought of it, but to let our thinking of death be transformed by what the truth is, that while it is a departure from what we have known in this life, beloved, it's not simply a departure from, it is a departure to. It is a departure to Christ. It is a departure to the sovereign Son of God. It is a departure to the destination for which he saved you. It is the fulfillment of what Christ appointed for you, what God the Father appointed for you before the foundation of the world. It's the fulfillment of the very reason that God saved you, is so that you would be in the presence of Christ forever. And to understand that that happens immediately upon your final breath here on earth.
Though our days are numbered here on earth, as followers of Christ, we have a special reservation in heaven. What a glorious day that will be. On our next program, Pastor Don Green will continue teaching about what Paul meant when he wrote, "To die is gain." So join us for more of our current series titled A Matter of Life and Death here on the Truth Pulpit. Right now, though, Don's back in studio with some closing words.
You know, friend, I listen to a lot of Christian radio myself, and I know how the game is played at this stage of the program. People have something to sell to you, or they make a strong ask for your support. Well, that's not what I want to do today at all. I just want you to know that our perspective on this ministry is this. The Truth Pulpit exists for you, to minister God's Word to you. You do not exist in order to make this ministry possible. We trust the Lord for His provision, and He's been very generous to us. So please know that we love you, that we want you to benefit from our program, and that we have no expectations of what you're going to do in response. We just want you to hear God's Word, receive it, understand it, and obey it. And we trust that God will bless you and us as that process takes place.
Thanks, Don. And friend, we hope you'll visit thetruthpulpit.com to learn more about our ministry soon. That's thetruthpulpit.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Bill Wright, and we'll see you next time for more from The Truth Pulpit.